Some of the characters we meet in this first reading act true to the form we expect. The chief priests and the scribes were really demonstrating their fear and hatred of Jesus, and at last was coming the opportunity to arrange for him to be killed. Also, we meet Simon, and in whose house Jesus had been invited to eat, and a woman came with a jar of nard, and she wanted to show Jesus complete and wholesome worship. We don't know who she was, but as Jesus says, she will be remembered for what she has done. And most importantly, he was saying to his disciples, she's actually looking ahead to my death, but this is where I am going toward the end of this week. And she has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. And then, of course, we meet Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. And he probably was really concerned that he had seen that Jesus was going to be the worldly Messiah, the saviour from the Roman occupation. And he couldn't understand the route that Jesus was taking when he was talking about him coming as heavenly king. And so he was led by Satan to go to the chief priests in order to betray Jesus. So as we think about these first characters, what would have been our reaction if we had seen this lady pour an expensive perfume over Jesus' feet? Would we have praised with her, or would we have condemned her for her love? How do we stand with Jesus? Compared to most of these characters earlier. And of course, the great character in this piece is that of Peter. I think we all have an affinity with Peter. He tries so hard, he fails so spectacularly, and is so wondrously forgiven. And of course, there is Peter in that first part of this reading, saying, "No, even though I must die, I will not deny you." And yet we read at the end that he wept because of his failure. So as we think about the other individuals here, we see Judas fulfilling his plan. He arrived with those sent by the chief priests and the scribes to arrest Jesus. And that biggest betrayal, he betrayed him with a kiss. Are we tempted to show our love for Jesus in words but not in deeds? Something we need to reflect on during this week as we move from the cry of adulation of Jesus for Jesus on Palm Sunday through to condemnation, which we will read about shortly as he is condemned to die. As we think of Jesus' continuing love for us, and Peter broke down and wept as he realized the enormity of the denial of Jesus. As we look at the other characters, we can see that they stood for what they had always stood. The chief priests and the scribes came together in order to bring him to condemnation, to put him to death. They were looking for it. They were looking for that evidence. And then we have this simplicity and the straightforwardness of the servant girl. She saw, and she said what she saw, which was that she knew Peter had been with Jesus. That's an interesting challenge for us. Can it be said of us that we are followers of Jesus? Because we, in a sense, can be seen to be following him along his journey to Calvary. And as we think about that, we also think of the continuing coming together of God's plan as all the people, all the characters, all the participants, if you like, of the cast of this action come together to bring Jesus to his trial. So the story goes on to its end. And as well as the characters who we've met before, the chief priests, their deadly intent, we are introduced to Pilate, who, as we read elsewhere in the scriptures, was convinced of his innocence and washed his hands of any guilt for his condemnation. And yet he wasn't prepared to stand for what he saw, but gave in to the crowd. The crowd, of course, are those who a week earlier, not even a week, had been praising Jesus and glorifying him as he came into Jerusalem, as they saw him as their Messiah riding on that donkey. But now they are calling for him to be crucified. And our story captures two other people. Barabbas, who truly was somebody sinning against society, and yet the crowd called for him to be released. So, in a sense, Barabbas got his salvation through the love of Jesus. And we also meet Simon of Cyrene, who carried Jesus' cross up to Golgotha. Somebody, again, who just happened to be there, but is now remembered for all time as taking up Jesus' cross for him. Are we there to take up Jesus' cross for him in our daily walk? And as we imagine that scene of the crowd following Simon carrying Jesus' cross and taking him to Golgotha, the place of the skull, we can imagine all those who have taunted Jesus over these days shouting at him. And we can weep with the followers of Jesus, who just could not understand what was happening at this time. Although prepared by Jesus, they still had to come to terms of his death. They had not really grasped the enormity of all that was happening. And so they were standing around the cross, probably more distant, and weeping for him. The chief priests and the scribes were there mocking him. And then also we meet the two bandits. And we know elsewhere from scripture that one actually did turn to Jesus in his dying moments. And Jesus said, "Truly, you will be with me in paradise." And that is a great hope, isn't it, for those who we know and love and care for, who have not yet accepted Jesus as their Lord. We do not know the time of our death, but we do know that Jesus is always open to our turning to him. And the centurion. What did he see in Jesus' dying that led him to say, "Truly, this man was God's son"?